Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 21. We'll pick it up here, and we just want to move on quickly through the end of this chapter and get into the next chapter as we look to pursue wrapping up this our study and look-see into this chapter. We've taken a look at the book of Ephesians from the standpoint about the instruction that the apostle gave to this church there at Ephesus, there in Asia Minor. And issues that they had that they needed to be dealt with. And then if you remember, there's a transition point that takes place in chapter 4, verse number 17, where the brother takes and the apostle takes from going to church things, church doctrine, church issues, and then gets down to yet dealing with teaching, yet dealing with doctrine, but then things come down and makes a transition to personal issues. There's that thing that happens there. From this book, we've gone off into our study of the headship of Christ. And by seeing the headship of Christ, I mean, it's a great subject. There's a lot to it. And it came from this verse and what these verses begin to speak about here in Ephesians chapter 5. I told you verse number 21. Let's back up and get the full sentence in verse number 18. It says here in Ephesians 5, 18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Okay, that's what we're to be filled with, the Spirit of God. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." I mean, we should have, as the Lord's people, certainly a song in our heart. He's saved us. He's made us His own. He's made us His sons. And we need to rejoice in the Lord. I asked you here not too long ago, I believe it was, you know, do you sing to the Lord? I'm not talking about singing good. I'm just talking about singing from your heart to the Lord. When it's just you and Him, do you sing to Him? The hymns that our brethren lead us in and the choruses that we try to learn, you know, we need to sing those to the Lord. Praise His name, to worship Him. Worship Him when we're by ourselves, and then worship Him when we come together. "Giving thanks always for all things," verse 20, "unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." We pray to the Father in the name of the Son, and it always needs to be filled with thanksgiving. And I'm thankful for our brethren that lead us in public prayer. I'm sure it's that way with the ladies too. We always need to have that thanksgiving, a continual thanksgiving before the Lord. And then it says here in verse 21, "submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And so that headship of Christ that we bounced off of 1 Corinthians verse 11, and we took a look at all those different kinds of relationships that we're involved with, they all manifest the headship of Christ in them. And we do, as the Lord's people, need to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, God gives us the instruction about how we're to be towards Him and towards others. And may the Lord help us to have that down in a right good way. We never want to be a stumbling block. Do you want to be a stumbling block to anybody? No, I don't want to be a stumbling block. I want to be an edifier. I want to be a good witness of Christ. I want to be one that builds up. And then it goes on, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord." See, let's find that here, how it's talking about issues of headship. "For the husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ the head of the church and Savior of the body." We've looked at those things. "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, and you're accountable to God for it." Okay? We're accountable to the Lord for it. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." There's our example. "And that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word." Okay? He wants to wash the church and is looking to wash the church. We need to seek to be washed by the water of the Word. We need to be filled up on the Word of the Lord, that He might work in us and we might have the wickedness of our past, the wickedness of this world, that it might be displaced. It'll only be displaced by the Word of God in us. It's just that way. Verse 27, "that He might present it to Himself a glorious church." That's what the Lord desires to do. Now, brethren, we need to consider that about our wives, that our wives are ours. They're not others. They don't belong to others. We, as their husbands, we're not the husband of another. We're our wives' husbands. We need to keep that in mind, as the Lord has His church for Himself. Okay, not another, okay? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, verse 27, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This speaks to that John says in 1 John chapter 2 and chapter 3, that if we have the hope of the return of the Lord, he that has that hope purifies himself. Same thing. It's the same thing. Different way to say it. Verse number 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Men, we love ourselves. We're interested in our skin. We need to love our wives as well. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Why? Because they're twain. They're one flesh, right? Twain have become one flesh. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We are partakers of the Lord, members of the Lord. We're in him, because of him, and for him, and unto him. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall two shall be one flesh. And that they are there as their own family before God. And we as the parents of those that would be married, we don't need to meddle in the affairs of another family. Okay? And if you got a family, it's one thing to seek good Christian, good godly advice. But your home is your home to be operated under what the Word of God says. And there shouldn't be anybody else operating another home from a distance. It's the Lord. The Lord is our head in our home, and we need to submit to him. There'd be one flesh. Verse number 32, this is a great mystery, a mystery that needs to be told about. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. And boy, it is a mystery to the world about the church, isn't it? You know, what she is, what the Lord's church is great. Speaking of the church institutionally, it's a marvel and a wonder that the Lord has done such. But yet he's done so with simple elements, people that he saved, that he's regenerated. And to the world looks on it and says, well, that's nothing. That's like nowhere. Little old group get together out there. What can they do? We can do everything that the Lord's got for us to do. And we've been set free to serve the Lord freely, haven't we? And we enjoy a great blessing in that and being used by the Lord in it. He's speaking here of the church, using examples of marriage that we should already understand. Nevertheless, he goes on and adds this footnote to this chapter. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. Okay, the marriage is between those spouses, and the wife see that she reverence with godly fear her husband, as we would fear the Lord. That's what that's talking about there. And then it goes on. Children, chapter number 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Here, headship of Christ continued on in that relationship of the children to the parents. And we've reviewed these things. We're not going to linger on them. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Here, somebody dying in their 80s or 90s or even 100 plus years old. You know, I can't help but think. I said, wow, they must have been obedient to their parents. You know? I mean, the Lord's told it. He told it in the commandments, right? In Exodus 20. And then here the apostle reiterates it and then says the same thing about it. Now, yeah, might we find exceptions? Yeah, we can find exceptions. That can be. But as a rule, that's what the Word of God says, okay? I mean, there are exceptions. There's a point unto man wants to die, and after that, the judgment, right? But then what about Lazarus? What about the man that was being carried on the bier out of Nain that the Lord brought back from the dead, right? What about the man that was buried on top of Elijah's bones that came back to life? What about the little girl there at Capernaum that was dead? Okay, see, the Lord tells things that we are to know and to believe and to understand. But if he wants to change it, he can change it. But we don't change it. Okay? Understand that. And so the Lord says here, this is the first commandment with promise, and it's a promise of a long life, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath. We don't need There's been several different applications of this, but we need to guide our children. We need to, what's it say here? Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't teach them wickedness. Okay, and I've got a note here in the side on the margin of my Bible, the nurture and admonition, also the fear. The fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord. That's what we need to instruct our children in. That they be directed that way, and then by the time, with the Lord's help, the Lord's touch, and the Lord's blessing, that when they then become adults, they'll know that they're accountable to the higher power, God Almighty. Amen. They're subject to us while they're young and while they're immature, but then when they get older and mature, that they might realize that they stand before God. If we let them be rebels while they're with us, they'll no doubt be rebels when they get older. But with the blessing of God and the following of His Word, that we pray blessing for them in a relationship and salvation with the Lord. And so, so we have that admonition there to fathers. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Be a good employee. We don't know about this servitude thing, do we? We just don't understand about being another slave. We just don't get that in our society. But we do understand about working, okay, and about working and in our employment. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. With fear and trembling and singleness of heart. What's it say? As unto Christ. The way we are to Christ, the way we are to be to them. Faithful. Not with eye service as men pleasers when they're looking. Oh, get back to work. The boss is looking this way. Not that. But as the servants of Christ. That the Lord is looking all the time. It's the Lord that's looking all the time. And so I need to be well to my boss when he's looking or not looking. Because the Lord's looking all the time, right? We've seen that. We've been over that. Doing the will of God, here you go, from the heart. Serving the Lord from the heart. That even my work, even my job, even my schoolwork, that is to be done, as the Scripture says, heartily as unto the Lord. It's the Lord that's given the blessing, isn't it? We tell our children, and said, the Lord's given you a mind, He's given you health, He's given you privilege. What He's blessed you with in the gaining of your education and in your young life, it's a blessing from His. Use it well. Don't waste it. Use it well. It's a blessing from on high. It is. Don't think that many young people will take the way of the world, and that's what it is, the wickedness of man and depravity of man, and even a lie that would be spread by Satan, that my parents and this thing about schooling and learning what needs to be learned in grammar school and high school and such as that, that's just some great conspiracy against me. Well, if you want to be an idiot or an ignoramus, don't do your schoolwork. I mean, and I don't. It's just that way. And I don't mean that to be unkind, but if you want to be not knowing, ignorance, don't do your schoolwork. But listen, there are young people in the world that if they could kill you and stuff you in a ditch somewhere and take your place for the education opportunity that you have, they would do it. I know that sounds pretty cold, but they would do it. They would take you, if they could take you and stuff you in a hole somewhere and get rid of you and step into your place, they would do it without even a second thought. So, the Lord's given you parents. He's blessed you with an opportunity. He's blessed you with an opportunity to learn. Use it and do it heartily as unto the Lord. It's His blessing upon you. It says, doing the will of God from the heart, verse 7, with good will, doing service as unto the Lord and not to men. If you work your job like you're working for the Lord, there'll be a blessing in it. And He'll give you help in it. And ask the Lord if you need physical strength, if you need mental strength and ability, or you need understanding, wisdom, knowledge, ability to be able to do, ask the Lord for it. You need a job. Ask the Lord to provide you a job. Ask the Lord to give you smarts about the job. Ask the Lord to give you help about the work. He's promised He will. He's promised that He will. And especially for we that are His children, He desire us to petition Him for such. And do it unto, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Verse number 8, knowing that whatsoever a good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Does it matter if you're the CEO or what we might consider and this is the way we think, this is the way society thinks, but it's not the way that it is, or the most menial job that there is, you do it as unto the Lord, there'll be a blessing with him. What we're required is to do what we've got before us. That's what's required of us, of the Lord, is to do with the opportunity and blessing that he's given us. Verse 9, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. The fellow that has a business, or that is a supervisor, or that is responsible for the operation of a company, or his farm, or his business, or whatever, he's not off the hook either. Matter of fact, he even has a greater potential condemnation than one that would work for him, because he's responsible, because God's watching him and he still works for God. Amen. It's that way. And so if you're a boss in any way, remember God's watching, and remember always that work is good. Verse number 10, and we come to this finally. I know you may be saying after weeks with regards to Ephesians, finally, we're going to spend a little bit of time here towards the end of it. There's some good things here, but he's signing off. Okay. He's beginning to sign off, and he wants the church to be filled with these things, to be encouraged with these things. He's going to give some sober things. They're going to get down there, and man, if you take in and of ourselves, we take a close look at them, we might even get scared. But we need to know the truth. We need to know what's going on. We need to have the mind of God as we look on to this life and the world to come and our place in it. We need to see the big picture that God sees. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Remember that. Be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in yourselves, because that'll lead to failure. But be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The methodia, right? We talk about a modus operandi, the M.O. There's a lot of these crime shows today. I tell you what, I don't recommend you watching that stuff, because I've watched it myself, but you watch those crime shows, you fill up on how they did all that bad stuff, and then at the end of that time, what's happened? Have you really relaxed? And then now, you know how to not rob a bank, or how to not kill a bunch of people, or how to try to commit a murder and cover it up. Is that kingdom knowledge? Is it? Would Jesus sit down there with us and watch that? Huh? Would he? You know, before the Lord, will we ever have a test before God where he'll say, okay, I want to know how you can, murder somebody and then cover it all up this way? I don't think so. I don't think we're going to have that, are we? And be careful what you watch, what you put in your heart, what we put in our minds, we can't get rid of. Now, I've got some of that myself. I can't get rid of it other than the displacing of it by the Lord. The methodia of the devil. He's got some wiles. He's got an M.O. This word wiles is talking about his lying in wait, his cunning arts, his deceit, his craftiness, his trickery. You know, there's nothing wrong with the TV. The TV in and of itself is a fine thing that can be used for good things, but it can also be used for wickedness and evil. This thing right here, this can be used for good things. This is really good when I need to get a hold of you, but then it can be used for a bunch of junk too. There's no thing in and of itself that's wicked. It's how we use it. And how do we use what we've been blessed with? We need to guard our hearts and guard our minds. Satan will sneak up on us before we even know he snuck up on us. He can't get in your soul. He can't get in your heart. But I tell you what, we can take that junk and we can pile it and rake it in there. We can. Amen. We can. And it does nothing but hurt us. And the thing is what happens is we do that over days and months and years. We get down the road in the way of our thinking, and we don't even know we've got down the road in the way of our thinking because it's just worked on us. You know, the time that you and I spend praying and reading the Word of God, and then we sit down in front of the TV for 4 or 5 or 6 hours, and then here's where it's at, the content of what we're listening to or what we're watching or what we're watching and listening to. If it's something that's not right, is wicked or evil, it's going to war against the good things of God. Maybe 3 hours a week in services and the time that we spend reading and praying during the course of the week, you know, can that combat well against 4, 5, 6 hours of stuff maybe that's not so good for us? Think about it. If we think that it will, we're really expecting a miracle, right? for that to do so. And so we need to be put on this armor, and then we need to stand against these wiles, and we know that they're there. We don't need to know what they are. We just need to be pursuing the Lord well and watch what we take in. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This isn't a physical fight. The Lord doesn't call us to go out and get people and tie them up and physically restrain them and by doing so, you know, force them into the kingdom of God, force them into repentance and faith. Brother Stephen, he found another interesting article. He posted it, I believe, on his Facebook page, and he or myself will be glad to get you a copy of it. But it's this cut of Muslims, of Islamists, and the way that they seek to make converts. In a nutshell, what it is all, if they can get you to repeat these certain words, they've got the job done. Isn't that wild? I had no idea. And you know what? There's those that are called Christians or those that are called Baptists that are doing the same thing, aren't they? Repeat after me, and we got the job done. They misunderstand what it says and what Romans chapter 10 is talking about. But yeah, they if they can just get the infidel to say the words, that's the first step. You do your part, and Allah will do his part. If you want to copy that article, it's very, very interesting. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But what do we wrestle against? We wrestle against principalities. This word principality is talking about beginning. It's talking about origin. It's talking about jurisdiction. It's talking about authority. Satan was cast to the earth, and he is the prince and the power of the air. He's the prince over this dirt ball. Now, the Lord, praise God, he intervenes in things that he's going to work in. He intervenes in that which he's going to accomplish his will. But there is a power that is here that is wicked, and Satan is his name, and all those angels that went with him, or demons as we refer to them to, they are here. That is our wrestle, and the wrestling that we do is against that wicked, wicked way, against powers. This is talking also about authority. It's the same, exousia is the Greek word, and it's the same where the word that the Lord Jesus Christ says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. See, Satan is a prince, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the king. We've got the king as our Savior, and he's got all power. And so when the Lord says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, then know that it's so. You know, that's our God. That's our Savior. And the blessing that we have, so much that we need to look to him. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against these principalities, against these powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, the Lord of this world, as we've mentioned, the prince of this age, the devil and his demons. And we talk about, let's take a look over here in Ephesians chapter 2. And I trust this is familiar to you in Ephesians chapter 2. This is what the Lord saved us from. Wherein in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, pardon me, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He is in this world. He is the Lord of this world, the prince of this world. And he and his demons are about this wicked business. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, take a look over here real quick. 2 Corinthians 2, talk about this, and we'll go ahead and read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. 2 Corinthians 2, let's back up to verse number 8. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love towards him, talking about this one that was mentioned in 1 Corinthians that needed to be disciplined from the membership of the church because of his iniquity and his lack of repentance. For to this end also did I write, that I might now know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave it I in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He is divisive, and he does work. In 1 Peter chapter 5, take a look over here. 1 Peter chapter 5. Speaking about the prince of this world or the rulers of the darkness of this world. In 1 Peter chapter 5, and this is true. May the Lord help us that we believe it. Be sober. Because if we're not sober, this can happen to us. Be vigilant. But if we're not vigilant, this one can overtake us. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. That's what the Lord did. He resisted him with his word, didn't he? And that's the example. We can't fight off Satan. Well, we're no match for him. He's just from the standpoint of the intellect. And of course, he is a different creature than we. But from the standpoint of the intellect, he's got 6,000 years of experience on us. We're no match for him. But the Lord says, resist him. Resist steadfast in the faith. In the faith. Resist him in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He is warring against the Lord and his people day and night. And so we need to know these things. He's saying, finally stand, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on this armor and stand against the wiliness, the wiles, the methodia, the methods of the devil. Back in Ephesians 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not with flesh against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. That's Satan, the lord of this world, the prince of this world. Against spiritual wickedness, iniquity, depravity in the souls of men. We ran into it this week as we went out and we tried to witness to some folks over in the Allensville area and run into these people that are of this cult, the Jehovah's Witness. And I tell you what, they are spiritually deceived. They've got a Savior and it's not the Lord Jesus Christ. They've got a method that they present to try to get you off their back. And I don't hate them. I don't dislike them. I know I've seen some that may put up some kind of card telling them to shoo away and go away. I tell you, those folks need the Lord just as bad as anybody. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. Sure, it's wicked, you know, but anything else that's against the Lord and against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is just as wicked. Amen. There's not one that's more wicked than another. If it's against the gospel of the Lord, it's wicked. And folks that are duped into that and deceived and in that, they need help. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're blessed with the truth. We need to tell them, not shun them. We need to tell them. But they are deceived. Man, they're just in a fog. No spiritual discernment, no understanding of the Scripture. I'll take a piece of Scripture right out of there and take it to mean something. Don't even look at the context of it. Just ignore that. That's what they've been taught. They've got a methodia that's their own. And they're trusting in an organization that started in the 1800s. Oh, I want to compile all the junk and the wickedness that hails from the 19th century. As I get older and I'm blessed to learn a few more things, learn some historical things that I didn't learn when I was young, the 19th century, I tell you, brothers and sisters, we're paying for the 19th century right now. I mean, so much came out of the 19th century, it's sickening. I mean, it's sickening. It's just amazing. But see, that's rulers in the darkness of the world against spiritual wickedness in high places, heavenly, celestial places. He's here working. Verse 13, because of that, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Be equipped that you may be able to withstand, resist, opposed, to set against, to withstand. Somebody there is at you, and you're standing there with your feet together, and they can push me, and I'll just fall right back. But I tell you what, if you're ready to withstand, you got that pose. You're facing what needs to be dealt with, and you're able to stand. That's what we're called to do, is to stand. To stand, having done all, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, the full, complete armor of God. You know what? If I or you am shod with some of this armor, then we're going to have vulnerability. But if we'll put on the whole armor of God, we'll be able, with the blessing of the Lord, to stand. It says here, to withstand in the evil day. You know, this is saying the same word that the Lord prays in John chapter 17, verse 15. You can write that in your notes, turn over there if you want to. But he's prays to the Father that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. The evil. We need kept from the evil. We need to pray. I pray that. I try to pray that. The Lord, keep me, keep my family, keep the membership of the church, keep Olmsted Baptist Church from the evil. You know what I believe the evil is? You know, the Lord makes things simple. You know what the evil is? Not having faith. A lack of faith. And it's not faith in ourselves, but a faith in the Lord and His Word. Keep them from the evil. The Lord says, sanctify them through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. Believe in God and what He says. Yeah, Brother Bobby read that this morning. He said, don't tell anybody. Where he did a miracle, and he said, don't tell anybody that I'm the Christ. There where he's talking to his disciples, right, in Matthew 16. He says, don't tell anybody that I'm the Christ. Why? The intent and the working of God is that sinners hear His Word. Hear it. Hear it and believe it. Trust Him in it. Have faith in Him about it. Having the whole armor of God. Because of these things, wherefore, in verse number 13, because of this way that it is with Satan and the spiritual wickedness that's being worked by his demons, the depravity of man working in this wickedness that is spiritual, it's in principalities, it's in the powers, it's in the rulers of this world, it's spiritual wickedness in high places. Because of that, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. May the Lord help us that we will stand, that we will be set, that we will resist, that we will stand still. I'll tell you what, the way I like to think about it is that we stand in the Lord. Don't stand for something. It's kind of like saying, there's a saying that went around and said, so if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. I tell you what, it's better to stand in a thing, okay? And so think about this. If you stand for something, and I know this is being picky about words, but if you stand for something, you may be superficial to it. It may be without you. But if we're standing in a thing, in the power of the Lord and His might, then we're in Him. We're protected by it, if you will. We're immersed in it. It's kind of like akin to where a church member would say, well, my pastor teaches and believes this or that or the other. They don't know anything about what they believe. Let it not be that way with us. Let it be that we believe, thus saith the Lord. I believe that the Word of God says this, and my church believes it, and my pastor believes it too, and I'm glad of that. I believe what the Word of God says. I believe God. May the Lord help us in that. We'll take a look at this armor here as we go on forward.